Today's daf is Menachos Daf Lamed Beis. We left off in Daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis, four lines from the bottom of the page, and again we're continuing in the halachos of Stam, Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, all the various issues that relate to the details of the writing of Kisvei Kodesh. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Chazina Le Rav Huna, Dekarach Le Me'echad Klapei Shema. He said, I saw Rabbi Chelbo when he used to take his mezuzah and roll up the mezuzah, the way he would roll it is from the end of the word Echad and toward Shema, which would mean that if on the top line, when it says Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that was the whole top line, he would roll it up from left to right. So I saw that was one of his minhagim, and the other one of his minhagim was va'osa parshios stumos. He made the parshios of the mezuzah to be parshios stumos. So what exactly the difference is between a stuma and a psucha is a major machlokas rishonim. We'll discuss it in just a moment. But he made the parshios of the mezuzah stumos. Tosus just bothered by the lashon. He made the parshios of the mezuzah stumos. Fractosus ksas kasha denaka lashon rabim ve'ein sham kim parsha achas. He says, I don't understand. There's really only one parsha in the mezuzah. So what does it mean that he made the parshios stumos? What he means by one parsha is that there's only one separation. There are two paragraphs in the mezuzah, the Shema Vayim Shema, and the separation between them. There's only one separation. That's what Tosus refers to by the parsha, not the actual parsha itself, but the break between the parsha. So he says, I don't understand why we're using the plural language of parshioseha. It should be va'asa parshasa stuma, that he made its parsha stuma. So it says also Shema Mishum al Aretz to Besov Shita Avol Pi She'in Kosov Klum. So okay, maybe because of al Aretz at the end of the column, even though it doesn't say anything at the end of that column, but since he would end it with the end of the column, so that's why the end of the line rather. So that's why it would be considered the second parsha, meaning at the end, after the end, is also considered perhaps on some level a parsha. So what exactly is a stuma and what is a psucha? So the Rambam writes that there are two types of psuchos. One is if you finish a paragraph in the middle of a line, you leave the rest of that line blank, and you begin the next parsha from the beginning of the second line. So that's one type of parsha stuma. But when is that true? That's only if you have 9 letters between when you finish the previous paragraph and the end of the line, meaning the space of 9 letters between when you finish the previous paragraph and the end of the line. But if you, let's say, only have 2 or 3 letters between when you finish the paragraph and the beginning of the next line, so then you leave the second line without any writing whatsoever, and you begin the next parsha from the beginning of the following line. So you either a parsha, according to the Rambam, parsha psucha always begins at the beginning of a line. Question is it the beginning of the next line or the beginning of the line after the next line? And that depends on how many letters, how much space was left when you finished the first paragraph. If it was the space of 9 letters or more, you could already start a parsha, a psucha with the next line. If it was less than 9 letters, you would have to start the parsha psucha with a line that followed it. A parsha stuma, the Rambam says, has 3 tsuros. There are 3 ways to make a parsha stuma. This is all the Rambam in Hilchos Mezuzah Tefillin Sefer Torah Perches Halacha Aleph and Beis. So the Rambam says, if you finish be'emtza ashita, you finish in the middle of a line, so you leave a little bit of space and you begin to write at the end of that line a single word. Meaning you begin the next parsha not on the next line, but at the end of the same line that you finished, after you leave enough space. And that's called a parsha stuma. If you didn't, if you don't have enough space to leave when you finish the first parsha, to leave a little bit of space and to write the first word of the next parsha at the end of the line, so you leave it all blank, and then you leave a little bit more space at the beginning of the next line, and you begin the next parsha in the middle of the next line. Meaning as long as you don't begin it, the next parsha, at the beginning of the line, that will not be a psucha, that will be a stuma. If you finish at the end of a line, so then you leave over a little bit of space at the beginning of the next line, and you continue in the middle of the next line. Those are the 3 tsuros of a parsha stuma. So it turns out that a parsha psucha always begins at the beginning of a line. When you have a parsha psucha, you're always beginning that second parsha at the beginning of the line. Parshas Stuma, according to the Rambam, you're always beginning in the middle or end of a line. You're never beginning at the beginning of a line. That is the Rambam's Shita. The Rush, however, holds that the difference between Psucha and Stuma is not tully on whether the Parsha begins at the beginning of a line. Rather, it's tully on the space between the two Parshios. If the space is closed on both sides, because by making the two parshios, by ending the last parsha and beginning the next parsha on the same line, so that's considered stuma. If the row is open until the end, that's called a parsha psucha. Meaning, whenever you don't finish and begin a parsha on the same line, that's going to be psucha according to the Rush. Ram says not necessarily. As long as you begin the next parsha in the middle of the next line, it will still be a stuma. But the Rush says that's considered to be a parsha psucha. So bottom line is, the Rambam and the Rush actually end up arguing in two different situations. In a case where you skip a line, the Rambam holds by definition, that's a parsha psucha. The Rush will say, no, it could be a stuma. And also, in a case where you leave a space at the beginning of a line, and you begin in the middle of the line, the Rambam would say that's a stuma, the Rush would say that's a psucha. So what are we paskin? The Shulchan Aruch in Yordaya Sim Reish Ayin Hei, Si'if Chaf, says that the halacha is like the Rambam, but we try to be choshesh for the shita of the Rush as well. And therefore, if you want to make a parsha psucha, you should finish the previous parsha in the middle of a line, and then write the next parsha beginning at the beginning of the next line. Because then every shita, both the Rambam and the Rush, would consider that a parsha psucha. If you want to make a parsha stuma, also you need to make a parsha stuma that's the chaladeos. So you leave a space in the middle of a line, and you finish the parsha at the beginning of the line, and you begin the next parsha at the end of that same line, where everyone agrees that is called a parsha stuma. That's what the minig is. That's what the Shulchan Aruch suggests that one should do. Okay, but that's just the basic background of what a stuma and a psucha look like to begin with. But in our Gemara, so what did we have? We had Rabbi Chelbo's Eidus, that Rav Huna did two things. One thing is he rolled the mezuzah from end to beginning, and the other thing is that he made the parshios, or the parsha, of the mezuzah to be a stuma. So, Meisvei, Amar Rav Shimon Lazar, Rav Meir HaYakosva, Alduch Sustus, Kimin Daf, Va'osa Revach Lamala, Va'revach Milamata, Va'osa Parshios HaPsuchos. Rav Meir used to write the mezuzah on Duch Sustus. Now, duchsustus and klaf are two different types of parchment that mezuzah might be written on. The difference between duchsustus and klaf is the following. When they would take the animal's hide, it was a thick hide, so they would cut it, they would slice it along the thickness of the hide and peel it away from each other. So they would have the side of the hide that was toward the outside of the animal's body. That's called the klaf. That was a very thin layer of hide. And they'd have the side of the animal's hide that was toward the inside of the animal's body. That was called the duchsustus. So he would write his mezuzah on the duchsustus, kimin daf, in a single column, just like you would write in a column of a Sefer Torah, not like you would have in tefillin, where you have these short, fat columns, but a narrow, long column like you would have in a Sefer Torah. Va'osa revach milamala v'revach milamata, and you would leave some space above. The Gemara will get into in a second how much space, but some space above and some space below the writing. Va'osa parshios psuchos, and he made the parshios psuchos. Now, amarti lo Rebbe matam, and I said to him, why are you doing this? Why are you making them psuchos? In the Torah, the parshios are actually stumos. So why would you change the way it is in the Torah and write them psuchos? So Amali, hol ve'ein smuchos min haTorah. He says, well, this isn't exactly the way it is in the Torah. In the Torah, these two parshios are not juxtaposed with each other. They're not one right after the other. In the mezuzah, we're putting them one right after the other. So it's okay, even though in the Torah they're stumos, I can make them psuchos. Va'amar Rav Chanan el Amar Rav, halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Elazar. And Rav Chanan el Amar Rav says that the halacha follows Rav Shimon ben Elazar. So who is Rav Shimon ben Elazar? Rav Shimon ben Elazar is the one that said that he would make the parshios psuchos. So my lava psuchos, isn't Rav therefore saying that the parsha of a mezuzah should be made psuchos? So what? What's the problem with that? Because previously Rav Huna said that, or Rav Chelbo was made, that Rav Huna made the parshios stumos. Now Rav is paskening, you're supposed to make the parshios psuchos. So what? Rav and Rav Huna are not the same person. They're not the same person, but Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav. And as a Talmud of Rav, you would expect him to be loyal to the Pesachim of Rav. So it's unusual that Rav Huna is going to Paskin. They're supposed to make the Parshios Stumos, and Rav is going to Paskin like Rav Shimon Elazar, who says that it's okay to make the Parshios Psuchos. Question mark. That's the Gemara's question. How could Rav Paskin like Rav Shimon ben Elazar when Rav Shimon ben Elazar seems to be saying, or Rav seems to be paskining, that means they would make the parsha of the mezuzah psuchos, and yet we know that Rav Huna, his Talmud, would make it stumos. So the Gemara says, lo, Rav never paskined to make a psuchos. A revach, what Rav Paskin like Rav Shimon ben Elazar about, was nothing to do with the Psuchos Stumos. There were lots of things that we said about Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that it was written on Duchsustos, that it was Kimin Daf, that he made a revach milamalov, a revach milamato, he left space above and space below, and then he made a Psuchos. When Rav Paskin like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, he was only commenting on the revach part, that you're supposed to leave a little bit of space above, a little bit of space below all of the writing, but nothing to do with Psuchos Vestumos. So therefore, it's not a contradiction at all. Rav would of course hold like Rav Huna, that you're supposed to make it Stumos. He just happens to also hold that you leave a little revach milamal of revach milamata. Interestingly, the Gemara never discusses how much revach minat studin, how much revach you leave on the sides, just says above and below. So Tosos in the top Tosos says, va'osa revach milamal of revach milamata minat studim lo piresh. It never says a word about how much space to leave from the side. V'shema kivan dekorech me echad klape shema. Sarich l'chadchila k'dei ligvol behekiv ke'in sefer Torah. So he says, maybe the fact that they would roll it from the end to the beginning shows you that you need space on the side, on the right side of the cloth of the mezuzah, enough to wrap around the entire ksav of the mezuzah. That you have to leave enough space on the right side that open space should wrap around the whole part of the mezuzah that has ksav. It should make at least one circle around the mezuzah, just like we have by a sefer Torah. We have the same din. That's how much space we leave on the sides of a sefer Torah. That is not a violation of the minhag that the Gra had. The Gra is quoted in Maaser Rav as saying that a mezuzah should not be wrapped in a cloth, because the cloth that you wrap the mezuzah in is going to be a chatzitza between the doorpost and the mezuzah. Very controversial statement of the Gra. Exactly what he meant by that. That it's going to be chatzitza between the doorpost and the mezuzah, and it's supposed to be al mezuzah pesach, it's supposed to be directly on the doorpost, and you can't have a chatzitza, which of course would beg the question. We always have a chatzitza. We put it in a mezuzah holder. That's a bigger chatzitza than just putting in klaf. Adrav, a klaf is min bemino, and we often say min bemino eino chotze. It's two things that are like kinds. They're not going to be a chatzitza for each other. The mezuzah case is min b'sheino mino. Okay, so that's a good kasha on the Gra. A lot of good kashas on that Gra. But this isn't that issue. Over here, by leaving space on the cloth itself, it's still part of that same cloth. Even though it wraps around, it's not considered a separate cloth. It's part of the same cloth. This Tosos does not pose a problem for the Gra. Okay, says the Gemara, V'kama revach. Now, how much space do you leave above and below? We just discussed in Tosas how much space you leave on the right or left side. How much space do you leave above and below the ksav? Samar of Menashe bar Yaakov, Amrilam of Shmuel bar Yaakov, Kimelo atva de sifri. The amount of space that you need for the clips of the sofrim, or the clips of the svarim, depending what your girsa is over here. If you look at Rashi, atva de sifri, galuin, Eitz saduk hanoshek dape kuntrus shelo yichpelu. They would have a tightened piece of wood that would clip on to the scroll so that the scroll shouldn't fold over. So that was so they would clip down the scroll so that it shouldn't fold over. There was a certain standard size to those clips, so you have to leave that the clip should be able to go on blank cloth, and the clip should not go over the writing of the cloth. That's how much space you leave on the top and the bottom. Amle Abaye the Rav Yosef. So Abaye says to Rav Yosef, wait a second. Va'at lo tizbra d'chiyama Rav arevach. He says, wait a second. You tried to bring a raya that Rav held that like Rav Shimon ben Elazar in terms of psuchos, that the mezuzah should be written psuchos. And we answered, no, that's not what Rav ever meant. Rav meant it should be only on the revach. He passed on Rav Shimon ben Elazar. He never meant psuchos. So asks Abaye to Rav Yosef, how could you have ever even had a hava amina? that Rav meant psuchos. Meaning, how could anyone have ever thought that Rav meant that the mezuzah should be psuchos? For Rav islay minhaga. Rav has holds of minhag very strongly. V'idna noga alma b'stumos. And we know that the minhag is that everyone does stumos. So there's no havamina that Rav would have held psuchos. Rav is a big minhag man. And the minhag is that you do stumos. Of course Rav held stumos. How do I know Rav was a big minhag man? So totally unrelated issue, where we just see how Rav highlights the importance of minhag. Da amar Rabba amar Rav Kahana amar Rav. So again, in the name of Rav, im yavo Eliyahu, if Eliyahu and Navi were to come, v'yomer, and to tell us, choltzin b'minol, that you should do chalitza with a minol instead of with a sandal, shomen lo, you'd listen to him. But if he were to tell us, meaning if he says you can even do chalitza with a minol, we'd listen to him. Ein choltzin b'sandal, ein shomen lo, but if he tells us that you cannot do chalitza with a sandal, even Eliyahu and Navi, we wouldn't listen to him. Shekvar nagu am b'sandal, because everyone is already knowing that we use a sandal. So you can't listen to him if he tells you not to use a sandal. You can't listen to him if he tells you to go against the minhag. What's the difference between a minhag and a sandal? So Rashi, Maseches Yevamos and Daf Kuf Aleph, says that a minhag is made from a very soft leather. Sandal is made from a hard leather. The Ritva over there says that a minhag is made from various pieces of leather, and a sandal is made from a single piece that's then shaped into a shoe. So that's the difference between the two. But anyway, Rav Yosef Amar Rav Kahana Amar Rav, and Rav Yosef said in the name Rav Kahana Amar Rav, a slight variation of that previous statement, that im Yavo Eliyahu v'yomer, if Eliyahu were to come and say, ein choltzin b'minol, shomen lo. If he were to tell you, look, we don't do chalitza with a minol, so then we'd listen to him. A little different than the first one. The first one was if he were to come and tell you, we even do chalitza with a minol, we would listen to him. Or we were saying, if we don't do chalitza with a minol, we would also listen to him. Ein choltzin b'sandal, but the second half is the same. If he were to tell us not to do chalitza with a sandal, then we would never listen to him. Ein shomen lo. Shekvar nagu'am b'sandal, because the minig is that we do it with a sandal. Parenthetically, v'amrin and ma'binayhu, what's the nafkamina between the two ways of recording what we would listen to Eliyahu Hanavi about, whether if he told us to do chalitza with a minhag or to not do chalitza with a minhag? Either in either way we said we would listen to him. What's the nafkamina? Either way we know that our minhag is with a sandal, so he can't change that. If he wants to tell us a minhag one way or the other, so gesunte, let him tell us a minhag one way or the other. We don't care, it's not our minhag anyway. So let him tell us one way or the other that you can or can't do it. So what's the nafkamina between the two ways that it's presented? Minhag lechatchila ikabinayu. The nafkamina is, can you use a minhag lechatchila? So how's that the nafkamina? Because if you say that if Eliyahu were to come and tell us choltzin b'minhag, then we would listen to him, sounds like nowadays we don't like to be cholitz b'minhag. Sounds like nowadays we don't use a minhag to do chalitza. But if your girsa is that if Eliyahu were to come and tell us ein choltzin b'minhag, then shomen lo, so sounds like until Eliyahu comes, we would hold that it is okay to do chalitza, even lechatchila, with a minhag. So the question is what we would have assumed, or what we do assume now that Eliyahu hasn't come and told us anything. This is all theoretical. Eliyahu never said anything about any of this. So what do we assume now that Eliyahu hasn't come? That's what the whole nafkamina between them is. But bottom line is that Rav, you see very clearly, is a minhag person. He's very into minhag. And our minhag is about, is to write the parsha of mezuzah stuma. So how could you have a havamina that Rav would hold that it should be Chusa? Says Gemara, yeah, El Lav Shema Mina, Revach Shema Mina. So you see obviously very clearly when Rav passes on Shema Mina Lazar, it wasn't about Stumas Chusa, Upsuchas, it was about Revach. It was about how much space to leave above and below. So interesting discussion about Minhag. The Yerushalmi says that there's such a concept of Minhag Mevatal Halacha. The Minhag has the ability to be Mevatal Halacha. So to what extent is that true? The Meiri, Maseches Yevama, says that's only in regards to a Gzeira D'Rabbanan, the kind of Halacha that a Minhag can be Mevatal is a gzeira d'rabanan, that if the chacham want to be gozer and aser chalitza midrabanan, we wouldn't listen to them, even if it seems that that someone's going to do chalitza shalokadin, because whenever you do a chalitza in a certain way, the minig is that people do it in a certain way, and there's no chash isher minadin, we're not going to allow the chachamim to make a gzeira on something that is against an acceptable minig, a minig that is not halachically problematic. The Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos writes that what the Gemara means to tell me is that if Eliyahu or Hanavi were to come and using his nevuah try to change the halacha, then we don't listen to him, because we don't adjust the Dinei HaTorah al pi nevuah at all, because lo b'shamayim hi. The Torah is not b'shamayim, the Torah is down here on earth, and therefore we don't adjust the Torah based on any sort of nevuah whatsoever. Sounds like that since the halacha is not like Eliyahu, we don't change the minhag. But whenever the halacha would be different than the minhag, then we would be mevatel the minhag. The halacha would technically always overpower the minhag. It's a very important comment of the Rambam, that the Rambam says, Eliyahu HaNavi, if you were to try to paskin anything based on nevuah, some people have a problem with suggesting that teku means tishbi yataritz kushios v'ibayos. Because how could you say tishbi yataritz kushios v'ibayos? Eliyahu HaNavi is not allowed to paskin to us based on nevuah. If he does, we don't listen to him. Lo b'shamayim hi, we don't paskin alachas based on nevuah. The Maritz Chayis writes in one place that no, Eliyahu HaNavi, in addition to being a Navi, is also in his day job, is he's a Talmud Chacham. So if he paskins based on his personal knowledge of Torah, not based on Nevuah, so that psak is certainly a valid psak and a binding psak like any other. It's only if you were to paskin based on Nevuah that it's problematic. I just gave a shiur in Yeshiva on the Hakdama to the Igros Moshe. I once gave it here in Shul. The Igros Moshe writes in the Hakdama to Igros Moshe, don't be afraid to paskin if you're an honest to goodness Talmud Chacham. A person shouldn't be afraid to paskin on the grounds that, how do I know I'm getting it exactly right the way the Ribbono Shel Olam meant it? He said, your job is not to paskin the way the Ribbono Shel Olam meant it. Your job is to paskin the way the Torah means it. That you have to be able to just study the Torah, and if you could justify it with the words of the Torah and with the words of Chazal, there is no one way up in Shemayim. The Torah is lo b'shamayim hi. The Ribbono Shel Olam could have had a single idea, and we'll paskin against the Ribbono Shel Olam. In the sugi of Tanu Shel Achnai, the Rambam paskins against what apparently is the opinion of the Ribbono Shel Olam, because the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the Torah, and therefore we view the Torah independently, and we study the Torah as is. Rav Moshe writes, that's why the Gemara we just had a couple of days ago with Rabbi Akiva and Moshe Rabbeinu, where Moshe Rabbeinu sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu tying ksarim, crowns on the letters. So Rav Moshe asks in Akdama, why do you call it crowns? Just call it points on top of the letters. So he says, no, a crown symbolizes something that's completely independent. A king doesn't have to answer to anybody. He's completely independent. The Torah, the letters of the Torah deserve crowns. They don't have to answer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Whatever the Ribbono Shel Olam thinks the halacha should be, shouldn't be, that doesn't matter. When we paskin the halacha, we paskin based on what the Torah says the halacha is, regardless of whether that's emes lamito in the sense of the single emes of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a very fascinating formulation of Rav Moshe in the Hakdama Tigris Moshe. But anyway, that's partially the issue of minag versus halacha. Okay, next, says the Gemara, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, mitzvah la'asos on stumos, v'yavdinu psuchos shapir dami. Look, the mitzvah, ideally you should make, meaning this is a new explanation. We first asked on Rav, how can Rav paskin like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that you're supposed to make them stumos, they're supposed to make them psuchos rather, didn't Rav Huna paskin that you're supposed to make the parsha of mezuzah, stumos, so how can Rav say it's supposed to be psuchos? So he said, no, Rav never really said it's supposed to be psuchos, he was just paskin about something else like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Nachum Yitzchak takes a different tact, he says, no, mezuzah, that mitzvah lasos and stumos, really the best thing to do, Rav is saying, is to make them stumos, like Rav Huna did. The avdinu psuchos shapir dami, all he's passing on Rav Shimon ben Elazar is that it's okay also to make them psuchos. My psuchos to come Rav Shimon ben Elazar, when Rav Shimon ben Elazar you can make them psuchos, you know what he meant? Af psuchos. Rav Shimon ben Elazar never meant exclusively only psuchos are okay. He meant even psuchos are okay. Le'misayele, and we have a riot to this idea. Kayotzi bo sefer Torah shabala utvilin shabalu ein osin mehen mezuza lufi shein morid mekdusha chamur lekdusha kala. If you have a sefer Torah or tefillin that are worn out, so you're not allowed to make them into a mezuzah because you're not supposed to be morid the kedusha from something that has a higher level of kedusha down to a lower level of kedusha. Homoridin osin, but sounds like had that not been a problem, if we were somehow able to get around the issue of being morid from a kedusha chamura to a kedusha kala, it would be no problem to take the parshios right out of the Sefer Torah and turn those into the parsha of a mezuzah. But amai, hachas tumas facha psuchos. But wait a second, isn't how are you going to get around the fact that they don't match in terms of the psuchos and stumos? In the Torah, it's stumos. In the mezuzah, it's psuchos, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. At least according to the way we understood Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar originally, that in the mezuzah it's got to be psuchos. So don't you see? Therefore, the Gemara is trying to use that as a raya, that in the mezuzah it doesn't have to be psuchos. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar was saying af psuchos. It can even be psuchos, but not that it's required to be psuchos. Gemara says no, that's not a raya at all. Dilma lahashlim. Maybe when it's talking about using the writing from the Sefer Torah to make your mezuzah, it just means to like cut out a line from the Sefer Torah and stick it in the mezuzah, just to be mashlim that line in the mezuzah, but not to take the entire parsha, because ain't a chinami. The psuchos stumos issue maybe would be a problem. The Sefer Torah is supposed to be stumos, and maybe Rabbi Shimon Elazar does insist that in the mezuzah it's supposed to be psuchos. Maybe it's not af psuchos. So that is not a raya at all. If you look at Tosos, Dilma Lahashlim, Tos quotes Pirush Bekuntrashim Chasu Mezuzah Shita Achas Ilav De'in Moridin Ayinotin Shita Achas Misever Torah V'Tofrin B'Mezuzah. So he quotes the way we explained it, that Lahashlim means that you would, if you were missing a line, you would take the line out of the Sefer Torah and you would stick it into the mezuzah. So says Tosos V'Adamirim B'Yushalim Perakam De'Megillah D'Tfilin Mezuzah Sein Nechtavin Ela Al Or Echad. Aye, but tefillin and mezuzahs are supposed to be written on one solid piece of parchment. So how can you cut out a piece of parchment from a Sefer Torah and stick it onto the mezuzah? Isn't that going to therefore be two pieces of parchment? So it says Tosos, hahi b'shelo tafara or zebezeh. That's only if they're not sewed together. But if you sew together the two parchments, that is a din of a single parchment. So that must be the case that the Gemara is dealing with. So now, says the Gemara, Vayter. Hamaridinosin. So wait a second. We said that if you were able to be morid the kedusha of a sefer Torah or the kedusha of tefillin and turn those parshios into parshios of a mezuzah, so it wouldn't be a problem. Va'atanya halachal Moshe Misinai tefillin al klaf umezuzah al duchsustos. But aren't there other discrepancies between the way tefillin and mezuzah is made? For instance, tefillin is written on klaf. Klaf is the outer layer of skin. When you split the skin in half, klaf, like we said before, is the thinner outer layer of skin. Tuchsustus is the inside layer of the hide, right? The inside layer of the hide of the animal. So tefillin is supposed to be on klaf, mezuzah on tuchsustus. And just parenthetically, when you write on klaf b'makom basar, and when you write in duchsustus b'makom seyar, which means to say that the klaf is the outer layer of skin. There are two sides to the klaf. There's the side of the hair of the animal, the side klapei chutz to the outside of the animal, and then there's a side toward the inside of the animal. When you write on klaf, which is the outermost layer of skin, you're supposed to write on the inner part, the inner side of the animal's layer of skin. When you're writing on duchsustus, which is an inner layer of skin, you're supposed to write on the outer part of the inner layer of skin. So essentially, if you have a big, thick hide, and you split apart the klaf from the duchsustus, the writing goes on the part that's being exposed by splitting it apart. The writing does not go on what's originally exposed when you have the big, thick piece of skin. It's what's being exposed by splitting it apart. That's where the writing goes. Fine, but bottom line is, how can we suggest that had it not been for this Moridin B'Kedusha issue, it would be okay to write, to take parshios from a Torah and put them in a mezuzah, or take parshios from tefillin and put it in a mezuzah? The writing is supposed to be on different types of parchment, so how could it be okay? It says, what a mitzvah? No, it's not a problem, because it's just l'chadchila you're supposed to have it on different types of parchment, but we're not really so makbid b'dieved what kind of parchment it actually goes on. Iva Tanya Shina Pasul. We have a brisa that says that if you adjust it and you put it on the wrong kind of parchment, it's pasul. So don't tell me it's only the mitzvah. So betfillin. No, it's only betfillin that if you do it wrong on tefillin, that's going to be pasul. But if you take the tefillin, the already existing tefillin that was kasher, and you turn that into a mezuzah, so the mezuzah is on the less than ideal parchment, but that's kasher b'dieved. Only tefillin is really ma'akev. But we have another braisa that says, no, if you do it on the wrong kind of klaf, whether on this or on that, meaning, sounds like it means, whether in tefillin or in mezuzah, it's going to be pasul. So again, back to the question, how can you adjust and take a mezuzah and turn it into and turn it take tefillin and turn it into a mezuzah. So says Gemara, idi b'tefillin. When we say bein bezeh, we mean by tefillin. It's both by tefillin. V'adikasfinu aklaf b'makom seyar. One is saying that if you are mishana in the sense that you take the klaf, which you're supposed to write tefillin on a klaf, but you write it on the wrong side of the klaf, right? Or v'adikasfinu ma'aduchsustus b'makom basar. Or you take the duchsustus and you decide to write tefillin on duchsustus b'makom basar on the wrong side of the duchsustus. So either way, that's going to be possible. That's what shina bein bezeh. That if you write on klaf and duchsustus on the wrong side, that's going to be possible. If you write a mezuzah on klaf instead of duchsustus, that's fine. That's not going to be ma'akiv b'dievin, and therefore it would have been possible to take tefillin and turn it into a mezuzah had it not been for the fact of a moridin, that you're not supposed to be morid from the kedusha chamura to the kedusha kala. V'ibayisema, or we could say shina bezel bezel tanaihi, whether changing it from one type of parchment to another is going to be ma'akiv b'diavad, is actually a machlokas tanaim. D'tanya shina bezel bezel pasul. There's some serious girsa issues over here, but Tanakama says shina bezel bezel is pasul. Rav Acha machshir mishum Rabbi Achayib Rabbi Chanina varmi lamishved Rabbi Kiva Barabi Chanina Kosher. So whatever, somebody says Kosher. Exactly who, exactly in the name of who, not 100% clear, but it's Machlokas. Machlokas, whether Shina Bazel Bazeh is Pasul or Shina Bazel Bazeh is Kosher. So that itself is a Machlokas Tanayim, and therefore we can't use that as a Kasha in any way. Okay, period. Now, says the Gemara, wait a second. We just said before that if it were permitted to take something from a higher level of Kedusha and lower its level of Kedusha, so then we would turn tefillin into a mezuzah, or we would turn a Sefer Torah into a mezuzah. But wait a second, v'habayis sirtut. But what about sirtut? Don't you need sirtut? Sirtut means making of the lines in advance. Meaning by tefillin, we don't find that you require sirtut, but by mezuzah, you do require sirtut. Sirtut is making the lines in order to be able to write straight, to make the lines on the klaf. Dam Rav Menumi Bar Chilki, Yom Rav Chan Bar Guri, Yom Rav Kol Mezuzah She'ena Mesurtetes Psula. If you have a mezuzah that doesn't have sirtut, such a mezuzah is pasul. V'Rav Minyamin Bar Chilki Didei Amar Sirtut Shal Mezuzah Allah Chol Moshe Misinai. And sirtut on a mezuzah might even be Allah Chol Moshe Misinai. So how can you take tefillin which doesn't require sirtut, doesn't have sirtut, you don't do sirtut, and turn it into a mezuzah? Had it not been for the Maridin issue, I and the mezuzah need sirtut. So says the Gemara. So one second, wait, before we give the Gemara's answer, why don't we just say that you then added sirtut to it? You took the parsha of the mezuzah and you put sirtut on it afterwards. You added the lines afterwards. So says Rabbi Kiveger in the Tshuva, in Madura Kama, Simen Nun, you see from here that you're not allowed to be mesartate after the ksiva. If you wrote a mezuzah without sirtut, that mezuzah is pasul, it's ein lo takana. You can't fix it by then adding a sirtut. And his raya is from our Gemara. If it were possible to add sirtut afterwards, the Gemara's kasha is not a kasha. What do you mean? How can I turn tefillin into a mezuzah? Don't I need sirtut? Not a problem at all. Add the sirtut later. So the fact that the Gemara does not give that answer and just asks us as a kasha is a raya, says Rabbi Kiveger, that you're not allowed to add sirtut later on. He says, don't tell me, don't be mechalik, says Rabbi Kiveger, because he quotes a Tosus and Sota. He's bothered because he says it's enough in a raya. He thinks his raya is very strong. Yet there's a Tosus and Masecha Sota, Daf Yud Zainam and Beis, where Tosus has a suffix by the Megillah Sota. If you mesartate the Megillah Sota after you write it, Tosus is not sure if that's kosher or not. So Rabbi Kiveger says, I don't understand why they mesubak. According to our Gemara, it's pashut, that it's no good. You can't be mesartate after you write it. So he says, maybe you'll want to be mechalik between the mezuzah, where you're not allowed to be mesartate after writing it, because there's a din that the ksiva has to be kesidron, that the ksiva has to be in order. As opposed to Megillah Sota, you can write in whatever order you want. You want to write the parsha backwards, gesuntait. It's start with the last word and go with the whatever floats your boat. By the Sota, you can write however you want. So maybe that's why sirtut can't be done afterwards. It's part of the din of kesidron by mezuzah, but by Sota, there's no such din. It says Rabbi Kiveger, he doesn't buy that at all, because it's not mestaver that that the din of sirtut is included in the din of kesidron. Kesidron is din in the writing. It's not in the din in the preparation of the parchment. So he says he doesn't believe that sirtut would be subject to the limitations of kesidron. There are tshuvas that disagree. The tshuva Zeis Ra'anan says, no, that's exactly the answer, that sirtut is subject to kesidron, and that's why sirtut cannot be done after writing a mezuzah, but sirtut can be done after writing the parsha of Sota. Okay, but either way, our Gemara's kasha is, how can you suggest that you're going to take a tefillin and turn it into a mezuzah? Tefillin doesn't have sirtut, and mezuzah requires sirtut. Says Gemara Tanai, it's machlokas Tanaim, Titanya Rabbi Yirmi Omer Mishum Rabbeinu, tefillin and mezuzos nechtav al shalom nechsav, ve'ein tzrichos sirtut. Both tefillin and mezuzos do not require sirtut. So if you assume like that, Tana, then no problem. Easy to turn tefillin into a mezuzah, had it not been for the Kedusha Chamura issue. The Hilchasa, tefillin lo bayis sirtut, mezuzah bayis sirtut. The halacha is tefillin does not require sirtut, mezuzah does require sirtut. V'idi nechtav al shalom nechsav, and it happens to be both tefillin and mezuzah could be written shalom nechsav. You don't have to be reading it from an already existing parchment as you're writing it. You don't have to have a tefillin in front of you as you're writing tefillin. You don't have to have a mezuzah in front of you as you're writing a mezuzah. My timer, why don't you need to read it from another example while you're writing it? Migros Grisin, because these are parshiyos that we're all so familiar with anyway. They're so fluent in our mouths, so it's no problem to do it bal peh. We know it bal peh anyway. So Tosav here asks, why would the Gemara ask, what's the Gemara's kasha of a habayir sirtut? In Mesechus Sofim it says that anything that requires sirtut, that everything requires sirtut. That even Mesech Sofrim says that even tefillin requires sirtut. And any way you write three or four letters on a line, you're going to require sirtut. That's what the Gemara in Gittin seems to assume. And Vavam Beis. So Tos says maybe that's only on the Shita Elyona, on the top line. But Bein Shita L'Shita, between the lines, maybe you only are Mesartate on the mezuzah, you're not Mesartate on tefillin. Okay, it's a big discussion on the Rishonim. To what extent, if any, there should be sirtut on the tefillin? Should there be like a sirtut box around the text or something like that, or above and below, but not between the lines? The Rambam writes that tefillin don't require sirtut because they are mechufin. Unbelievable. The Rambam says the reason that tefillin don't require sirtut is because they're covered. You never see them anyway. You never see the parshiyos anyway, so it doesn't have to be done so precisely. Not only that, it's not, the minhag is not to do sirtut, says the Rambam. The Rana Megillah says, wait a second, isn't a mezuzah covered up also? Don't you cover the mezuzah? Because the mezuzah is rolled up and it's put on the doorpost. So the Ran says, no, there's a big difference between tefillin and mezuzah. He says, a mezuzah, you check twice every 7 years. Tefillin, you check once a yovel. Check once every 50 years. Pretty interesting comment. A tefillin, you never check. When it happens to be mezuzahs that are outdoors or that are left in a difficult, that are left exposed to the elements, it makes sense to check a little more. A tefillin that you leave in your house and doesn't get, it doesn't go through any traumatic experiences. You don't drop it in water or anything like that. You don't leave it in freezing cold for days or snow or anything like that. So tefillin almost never becomes puzzle. The mezuzah doctor keeps statistics of how many tefillin and mezuzahs that he's found that are puzzle, and he has something like 99.8% of the stuff that he finds that are puzzle were never kosher. Things don't often become puzzle anymore. Things very often start off as puzzles. Someone forgets to write a letter here, forgets to write a letter there, but things don't often become puzzle. Okay, weiter. Amar Rav Chelbo, second Rav Chelbo of the day. Anachas, he said, Rav Huna dava yasav apurya de Sefer Torah. I saw that Rav Huna used to sit on a bed de Sefer Torah lay, that a Sefer Torah was on also. So he would sit on the same bed that had a Sefer Torah on it. V'kaf l'kada ara v'anachale Sefer Torah. He would turn a jug upside down on the ground, and he would put the Sefer Torah on that jug. Vahadu yasav b'mita, and then he would sit on the bed, meaning he wouldn't sit directly, because kasavar asur leishav agav b'mita sefer Torah munachalei. He would raise up the sefer Torah by putting it on top of a kli, because he held that you can't sit directly on a bed that a sefer Torah is placed on. The Tos quotes from Yishalmi that if you put a sefer Torah on something else, it's mutter. There's a machlokas amarayim how thick that something else has to be. According to Rav Huna, it's a tefach. According to Rav Zeira, even a kol shu, as long as it's on, let's say, a cloth or something else that's not directly on the same thing that you're sitting on. The Shach quotes from Beis Yosef that l'chadchila it should be 10 tefachim off the ground, but nevertheless at least 3 tefachim, because less than 3 tefachim is not considered a height at all. Shach says, but that's all midas chasidus mikra din, it's certainly good enough with a tefach echad, with a single tefach would be enough. Anyway, says Gemara, pliga de rabba barbarachana, dam rabba barbarachana, rabbi yochan, mutile shavagabi mitash sefer Torah munachalei. Rabba barbarachana held, you're allowed to sit on the same bed that a sefer Torah is sitting on. V'imlech shachadim lomar ma'aser b'labelzer shal yoshev al mita v'nizkar shesefer Torah munachalei v'nishmat v'yoshev al gabei karka v'doma k'mishet kishu nachash. And if you think no, it can't be mutter because we all remember the famous story of Reb Lazar that he was sitting on a bed and then he noticed that there was a sefer Torah on the same bed and he quickly jumped onto the ground. He jumped off of the bed onto the ground and he was as if he was bitten by a snake. He was so terrified of the fact that he sat on the bed with the sefer Torah. Hasam Sefer Torah Gabi Karka Hava. Over there, the Sefer Torah was on the ground. The Sefer Torah was not, over there it was worse, because it was Sefer Torah on the ground. It wasn't just Sefer Torah on a bed. Fine, period. Next statement of Rabbi Yudomer Shmuel. Rabbi Yudomer Shmuel, Kasva Igeres Psula. If a person writes his mezuzah without any sirtut, he writes it like an Igeres, Rashi says that means two things. It means, number one, without sirtut. Number two, he writes it like a letter, he's not so careful about the spellings. Fil chaseros here, yaseros there, big deal. He just writes it like he would write a letter to a friend, so that's pasul. My taima. Asya ksiva ksifa mi ksiva ksifa ksiva ksiva mi sefer. We learn ksiva ksifa ksiva mi sefer. It says v'chasavtem al mezuzos, and it says v'kasav la sefer krisos. So just like the kasav la sefer krisos has to be precise, so to v'chasavtem al mezuzos has to be precise. Tells us questions. Wait a second. Kasav la sefer krisos is a get. Does a get have to be precise? Who says a get has to be so precise? And sirtut? You need sirtut by a get. You never find that you need sirtut by a get. What kind of comparison is that? Tosfos in Dibrei Maskil, Kasva Igeres. He says, I don't understand what Rashi is talking about. It doesn't... plus, the word sefer... and the word sefer by a get comes for other drushas, for sviras dvarim bialma, that the get has to tell the story of what's going on, that the man, this man is divorcing this woman. So it's a very strange drusha that Rashi's quoting. So Rashi has a second possibility. Inami says, ksov zos zikaron ba sefer. So just like a sefer is by a diktuk, af mezuzah by a diktuk, okay, that's, we learn ksavtam al mezuzos from ksov zos zikaron ba sefer. So it's the connection to sefer, from sefer to mezuzah, that mezuzah needs to be written like a sefer and not like a letter, not like a friendly letter to a person's friend. Va'amr of Yudam Shmuel, last dinner for Yudam Shmuel for today, Amr of Yudam Shmuel, tala b'makal psula. If a person hangs the mezuzah on a stick, it's possible, meaning he doesn't really connect it to the doorpost, he just hangs it off of a stick. My taima, question exactly what the Matzias is, but my taima, bisharecha b'inan, because it needs to be bisharecha, and this isn't really bisharecha. Tani nami hachi, tala b'makal l'shaynicha achar adelas, sakana vein b'mitzvah. If you hang it on a stick or you put it behind the door, that's a sakana, and it's not a mitzvah. Why is it a sakana? So Rashi says sakana because mezuzos are meant to protect. And if you don't have a kosher mezuzah, your house doesn't have protection. Memela, that's a sakana. Tulsa says, yeah, then every time we have a mezuzah that's possible, the Gemara should start talking about sakana. Gemara never does that. It doesn't tell us about any unique sakana. Every single time it tells us there's a problem with the mezuzah. He says, no, you know what the sakana is? It's sticking out on a stick from the doorpost. You're going to bang your head in it. That's what the sakana is. It's not about sakana of not having the mezuzah on the doorpost. The issue of sakana when it comes to mezuzah is an interesting topic. Maybe we'll lead off with that tomorrow. Let's just finish up the line, Shabbos Munvas HaMelech HaYu'osin B'Pundiko Sehen Kein Zeich HaLamazuzah. Munvas HaMelech used to go around from all the different provinces that he was king over, and he would stay for a couple of days in each place. Halach is, if you're only staying a few days, you're staying less than 30 days, you don't need a mezuzah. So he didn't really require the actual mezuzah, so he would have this shtick. He would carry a mezuzah around in a stick and lean it up against the doorpost, and that's the way he would have a Zeich HaLamazuzah, at least. A question tells us, why wasn't he worried about Sakana? Okay, it's a good kashrut, maybe we'll get to it tomorrow. Thank you.